Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. And I'm so sorry if the sound quality is not that great this morning, because Clark decided to call in on the conference call line, which is my backup plan. But we're still going to have a good episode. And without further ado, I'm going to Clark take it away and explain more about what he does. And I'm going to be asking him natural baseline questions like I always do. And then we're going to have a natural conversation and see how it evolves.
That sounds great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Gwen. Probably the best way of stating what I do is I want to bring a revolution to American job seeking. And if, you wonder why, it's because during my career, I was in the job market 5 times. My job was eliminated 4 times. And as the sole breadwinner for my family, while my wife is homeschooling our kids, I had to learn everything I could to learn how to land a job ASAP. And I really have a tremendous heart for all job seekers because I know firsthand what they go through. And it's really horrible what they go through. And that is why I wrote the book Job Hunting Secrets from someone who's been there. All of the literature written to date on job seeking has been written by people who are or were previously HR professionals or recruitment professionals. And while they are very knowledgeable, because they haven't gone through the experiences that a job seeker has gone through, they don't really understand everything job seekers go through. There are a lot of things that, for example, there are a lot of things that are not well understood because of who's been writing about job seeking in America. My book, Job Hunting Secrets, is the first job hunting book written by a veteran job seeker. And that's important because today's job seeking world is run by recruiters, HR managers, and hiring managers. And all of the job seeking books written to date were written by people who are or were HR or recruitment professionals. So I feel that I'm blessed with the experiences I've had because I understand what job seekers go through, and I can help them in a way that really no one else can. When people have sat in HR or recruitment, they have specific ideas on what's required to land work. When you are a job seeker and who's actually been through it and actually have to do everything possible to land work so you can keep your house and continue to pay rent, you do everything possible to master this complex puzzle. And the book I've written, Job Hunting Secrets from Someone Who's Been There, was written to share what I've learned with all job seekers. And when, you may have made a mistake by asking me to talk because I could probably talk continuously. So I will let you, ask a question, or I can kind of explain some of the things about my book that would be of interest to job seekers or anyone who knows job seekers. Would you like me to do that?
We'll get to your book in a minute. My first question is, okay, what do you think about these bots now looking at these job applications? And trust me, I am gainfully employed. I have a small part-time job as an admin assistant at a private school. I've had that job for years, but like millions of Americans in the economic crash of 2008 and 2009, I lost my job. So,
sure.
And then I lost another one on top of it. So double-edged sword right there. And
right.
Yeah, I was like, okay, lost my job, and then lost my mom. Double-edged sword right there.
I'm sorry.
But that's okay. That's hard, yeah. And so when I tell people I've had this job for 8 years, then I got it 10 days after my mom died, I'm like, people are like, you did what? You did what? Yeah, and I say yes. I came home and got a job. I found myself in a predicament. I needed to make money. I couldn't, I wasn't a published author at that time, so I needed to make money for myself. So I decided to go get a job in a teaching field. Well, so what do you think about these bots looking at resumes and curriculum vitae? Because a lot of the coaches I have talked to, Joe Shepard from Zen Lead, he said he's changing the job looking in enforcement. He's not necessarily using bots. He's using humans to help people find jobs. And so what do you think of all these bots getting out there and looking at these resumes and basically throwing us into the slush pile? And I say us because, again, I'm looking for jobs in journalism this time around, not in the education field. But what do you think, Clark, about these bots?
Well, that's one of the biggest challenges that job seekers face today that make it so different from it was in the past. When, as I'm sure you know, when the Internet became the way that people started applying online, human resources departments were overflowing with applications. So somewhere along the line, someone created something called the like a bot, or you can call it a bot, basically, something called an applicant tracking system to automate how candidates are selected for interviews. And the way these work, they don't work very well to begin with, is they remove or reject anywhere from 75 to 90% of all applications. And the good, you know, the challenging thing about that is that these applicant tracking systems are notorious for misreading resumes. There are certain ways you have to format your resume. There are certain ways you have to customize your resume to get through. And even if you do all these things, there's no guarantee that you will get through. There's a famous story about a VP of HR who decided to test his company's applicant tracking system, or ATS as they call it for short, by applying for a position with his own company, and he was rejected. So that gives you an idea of what these systems are like. So one of the things that's important to remember is there are things you can do to increase your likelihood of being selected by these ATS bots. One of them, there is a website called jobscan.co that provides an excellent system for customizing your resume, basically enable you to load the job requisition that you're applying for, as well as your resume, and helps you basically compare the words in both the job rec and your resume to bring you as close as possible to matching the keywords that are in the job rec. And that type of thing is what's going to increase your likelihood of getting selected. There's certainly no guarantee. The best way to land any job is to get a referral. JobVite has done research on this and found that 39.9% of all hires are, of all employees who are hired, are referrals from people who work for that company referring people that they know for open positions in their company.
Yes, and they also say that because of job referrals, HR, human resources, HR doesn't even post half the jobs they have open. And how I, believe it or not, how I got my job, the job that I've had for 8 years, the part-time admin assistant job, used to be teaching job, and I got that job because I was a student at that school,
mm-hmm.
and so the boss that hired me happened to be my next-door neighbor, and I'm pedaling down the street on my bike, and he sees me, and so I call over, and I happen to bluntly, me, the bull in the china shop, ask him, do you have any job openings? Because I wasn't happy at my job previously. I was being emotionally abused, and then I thought about it that I knew a job loss was coming to me. I found that one out in July. I sat at lunch with my ex-boss, and my ex-boss really told me that she was opening up another daycare center in town, in the town of Aspen, Colorado. And I said, well, who are you taking with you as your aid, so to speak? And she mentioned another teacher, and I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. And she bluntly said that to me, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. I'm going to jump fun. And I'm like, okay, now what am I going to do? So I asked my next-door neighbor, who happened to be my principal, who then happened to be my boss, do you have any job openings? And I was smart enough to send him an email. And he said, when we responded to your email, you never respond back. But, yes, we do. And then my mom passed away, life got in the way, and I'm like, well, I need to go find a job now because I'm the woman of the house. I should at least be contributing to my own welfare here. And so that's the story of how I found my job. I found my job by asking a refill for a bike seat.
Right.
And people are going to start laughing at that. I'm like, I'm really lucky because that's how I found my job.
Good for you. Being proactive is really the only way to land work, you know.
Yes, I definitely agree. I definitely agree being proactive is the only way to land it.
Yes, agree.
And so what do you think of the power of LinkedIn nowadays? Do you think the power of LinkedIn is better off than these bots?
Well, you know, basically when you talk about the bots or, you know, like I call them, applicant tracking system, is the filter that employers use to filter out resumes. And applicants. LinkedIn is obviously many things. It's, you know, a wonderful way to connect with people and get to know people, to line up referrals, to quickly apply for jobs. LinkedIn has helped me land work in the past. I spent, with my job being eliminated four times, I invested a great deal of time in my own LinkedIn profile so that I would come to the top of the list when recruiters were searching for financial analysts like myself. So LinkedIn is amazing. It's wonderful. And it's just a great source of information for job seekers.
Yeah, and the fact that you can create videos so people can get to know you and get to know you with Dial. I think that's a great thing. Now, did you self-publish your book, or did you get a publishing deal? How did that work?
Well, my first book was through Amazon's CreateSpace organization, and that was published in November of 2017. And they were great. There certainly was a lot to the process. Amazon's CreateSpace has now been merged with their Kindle Direct Publishing, and so that's who I went through Kindle Direct Publishing for my second book, LinkedIn Strategies to Take Your Career to the Next Level. I am currently writing up a book submission to a publisher that a friend of mine has been published through, and you know, working toward getting that submitted. There, you know, there are limits with self-publishing, and it's my hope, God willing, that I can get published. So I've been actually spending a lot of time on my book proposal and providing all of that information.
Well, book proposal is a whole different animal in itself. And I'm actually, well, you guys, I'm actually trying to bring on a literary agent, and I am trying to get behind the scenes of the book proposal because I want to be agents. And I published my first book in 2010, and so it's been 8 years, and I want to see what they can do with me. I'm also going with a small publisher, you guys, because I'm sick of doing the Amazon CreateSpace KDP dance, and I tried to upload a book yesterday. No, it was Friday, and they go, "We reject the cover." I'm like, "No, you guys, then I'll just do it a different way," and I just left them alone. So I'm like, KDP needs to make their work. So little AI agents need some rescue truck, you and I, because we need help. We need help now to get the story out there. But congratulations on self-publishing. Self-publishing is a daunting, daunting task because you have no team behind you. It's you and the big giant Amazon.
Right. I was happy to do it, to get it out, because I was concerned if I waited for a publisher, I'd be dead before that actually happened. I'm 60. And while I was glad to get it out, now having gone through everything I've gone through and have peers who are already published that I, you know personally, I'm seeking to learn from their example so that I can, take that next step to publishing.
Well, even though traditional publishing is great, they don't do half the marketing you expect them to do. So you have to do your own marketing and ask when for anyone who is in the traditional publishing field. And, of course, this goes to you, back to you when you get traditionally published. If you do, I put AF. You're always welcome to ask when. I always like my authors traditionally or self-published. So, Clark, what is your best chapter in your book?
Well, thank you for asking, Lynn. I appreciate that. While that's a tough choice, I think the one that people find most interesting is the 12 Lies Told to Job Seekers. And I can go through that, go through a couple of those if you'd like.
I would love that. I would love that because, as you heard me say, oh boy, here we go down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole purpose of my book is to basically provide a companion for job seekers that tells them what's really going on. And, you know, so, okay, the first lie is human resources says only apply to jobs if you have 80% of the requirements. And, you know, HR says this because it reduces the number of applications they have to review. And while the 80% requirement sounds logical, it sounds logical until you read a job description, which is one continuous sentence and 15 lines long. It sounds logical until the hiring manager says he's so busy that he didn't have time to create a job description. In fact, the description online is just a template, so it doesn't actually describe the actual job. Or the hiring manager tells you they haven't fleshed out the responsibilities for the new role. In other words, they don't know what you'd be doing. Or fourth, the job requirements appear as if they're looking for a Nobel Prize winner. And I've encountered all four of those situations. And I've applied for positions where I don't have 80% of the requirements. And when I did this most recently, while I didn't get that position that I applied for and interviewed for, because of the impression that I made in that interview, I was called back for another interview, and I work at that same company in that same position 5 years later. So, you know, that's one of the other factors with the job descriptions is a lot of them will frequently have corporate or industry jargon that only, you know, are understood by very few or very small amount of people. So that's a real issue there. Going on to another lie, hiring managers say, we'll decide by the end of the month. And, you know, that sounds like music to the ears of a job seeker, like, oh, great, I'm not going to have to keep looking. You're actually going to be coming to a decision. And the reason that hiring managers say that is they want you to stop looking. They want, then they tell you this because they want you to still be out there available to them when they actually get around to making a decision. The bottom line is hiring managers don't really know when they're going to make a decision. Hiring managers have bosses and other people that determine what they're going to do. So even if they want to decide by the end of the month, that's frequently not an option. I, in fact, knew someone who was courted by a company, interviewed with them. They told him they were going to make an offer. And he finally had to tell them, this was a great company, hey, guys, it's been 7 months. Either give me an offer or I'm moving on. So, you know, people need to understand the double talk that they hear. And because it's just really, really, really very sad. One of the other ones is external recruiters will say, your salary expectations are way too high. And there's a very simple reason that they say that. And it's because these external recruiters have a lot of jobs, but they have more jobs that are lower salary positions. So it's a lot easier to fill lower salary positions. So if they can put you into these lower salary positions, they'll make their commissions faster. If you were rightfully asking for the salaries that you earn, which may be higher, it's harder for him to earn his commission. So the bottom line is you want to kind of stay away from recruiters like that. You want to deal with recruiters who actually understand your value and want to work with you. So those were about three lies. I'd be happy to share more if you'd like, or happy to share another chapter if that's what you'd like me to do right now, Wynn.
Now that people got a taste of the good talk, I want people to go buy a book. So, people, you need to go buy this book because you got a taste of this book now. And if you're a job seeker out there, disabled or not, you need to go buy this book to help you find your dream job. And as we tie this interview up, Funk, do you have any questions for me?
Well, first of all, I can't think of any questions for you at this point. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak with you. As I talk and think through the questions I might have, you are an author who has been written, more books than I have for a much longer time. You kind of were giving me some advice regarding publishers. What type of advice would you give someone like myself who obviously wants to get my book into as many people's hands as possible?
And I know this is sounding cliche, but you need to put yourself out there. You need to somehow get on more podcasts. Definitely need to get on more podcasts because podcast is the next best thing. I mean, podcasting is here to stay, and that's the only advice. I was really lucky, and I'll say I had the winning streak, no pun intended, with my books and my book, the original book, that not only did my friends, my family, but complete strangers were buying my book, and that's what started this podcast journey for me. And so what my advice to any authors or any aspiring authors is do book promotion before you write the book. Do book promotion definitely after you write the book. Do book promotion in the middle of writing the book. Just get yourself out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree 100%. And I've been on about four or five different podcasts so far. I think yours would be the fifth. I'm actively pursuing more of those. Also working on speaking at networking events, like for local chambers of commerce and so forth. So that's a top priority of mine, as well as speaking at universities.
And although with universities, universities are tricky and a half due to their budget. If you want to get paid, teachers just get paid. Well, I know because I am one. And so they have a set budget. So a podcast would be easier than a university because a podcast, you can reach globally, whereas a university, you are just reaching that classroom.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. No, I agree 100%. One of my longer-term goals is to speak at a TED Talk. I mean, I love speaking in front of people. And, so that's one of the other objectives. But, definitely as many podcasts as possible. If you'd like, I'd be happy to recommend people who are just, I think there are a lot of great, there are many people who I view as excellent in the career expert field that I could recommend to you if you want to
please do that. please do okay. that and recommend them, not to me necessarily, but even though I host this podcast, recommend them to my assistant and myself, because we are always looking to expand people's knowledge about the workforce and about equal opportunity and employment. And I think that the able-bodied can learn the exact same way from the disabled. I think the disabled can learn from the able-bodied, but that's just me. And so, Clark, where can people find you if they want to get more information? And where can the people get a hold of you if they want more information?
I wanted to interject one more thing before I answer your question. One of my favorite quotes is the only, and I'm probably not saying this exactly correct, but the only disability is a lack of self-confidence. I hope that comes off well, because I think with self-confidence, we can overcome whatever physical disabilities we have or other disabilities, because each of us, almost all of us, have things we have to overcome from our past or our limiting beliefs or so forth. So anyway, I just wanted to interject that. People can find me at clarkfinical.com. That is my website. They can also find me on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with them. And I also am on YouTube. So feel free to check out my job seeking videos. I just started building a library there on YouTube. My name is spelled C-L-A-R-K, F as in Frank, I-N-N-I-C-A-L.
Well, I appreciate your knowledge, Clark, and I hope that you best of luck in your publishing journey. And as I said, you're always welcome on S-Win. So there's a there's something that you can put in your book proposal, because the literary agent may want to know what you're doing PR-wise, and
sure.
you can use me as a contact. And
I
hope
Thank
you guys enjoyed this episode, I've been Lyndon, and please go pick up Clark's books, and please leave a review on Amazon. It doesn't have to be a 5-star, this is a wonderful book review. It just has to be a review, because that's how the Amazon algorithm works. And as I said, I will be dropping my book hopefully tomorrow, and my holistic station. And of course, it will be on Amazon. I will make sure of that. And so you guys enjoy, and you guys go be happy as you search for a job. I know that's a full-time job in itself. And let's just support each other and make this the best world that we can get. Thanks to you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Wynn. I take it you may have hung up, right, Wynn?